bottom of Cheshmer Aleph. Amar Rav Huna bar Yehuda Amar Rebbe Ami. La'olam yashlim odem parshiyosav im hatzibur shnayim mikro vechet targum. Person should be mashlim parshiyosav im hatzibur, which is a different pshatim what that means. But every Shabbos he should finish the parsha shnayim mikro vechet targum. Two times the mikro and one time targum. Ba'filo, and even those psukim, you see, that don't have targum, atoros the divon, it also has to be read. We'll see what it means, is what you do with that. If you read it three times, or there is a targum on this, just not targum onkelos, so we'll just finish off the inyan here, and then we'll go back. Shkola mashlim parshiyosav im hatzibur marichim lo yomav ushnosav. Person who is mashlim his parshios with the tzibur, so it's a special school of arichas yomim. The storm explained what's up, marichim lo yomav ushnosav. If you get extra years, surely you get extra days. Some say it means a person who's old already, so he's not going to get that many more years, but at least he'll give him extra days. And others say that Yomav, Marich lo Yomav, means that the days will be full days and the years will be full years. One is an idea of Kamos and the other is an idea of Eichus. Raveba by Arbaya Sover Lashlaminu Leparshiyosa Lekule Shasa Bamala Yomi de Kippure. Raveba by Arbaya thought that he would finish off all of his parshios on Erev Yom Kippur. And the Yavit says he did it to get extra zechuyos before Yom Kippur. He thought he'd save it and have that extra, all those extra zechuyos before Yom Kippur. Just like some people at Dafka make Kiddush Levana between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to add extra mitzvahs. So Tani Le Chia Barav Midifti. So Chia Barav Midifti said to him, "Ksivi nisim es nafshosechem betisha lechodesh bo'erev." The chibetisha misanim, the halo basora misanim. It says that the inui nefesh starts betisha lechodesh. Not true, because it starts at night when it's already asiri bachodesh. So you don't fast on the ninth. Right? El alomer lecho kala ochel v'shosa b'tshi. Whoever eats on the ninth, malo v'kosuv kiu misanet shiva asiri. It's considered like you fasted the ninth and the tenth. So the Maisa, if he would have to be Maver Sedra, all of the Sedras on Erev Yom Kippur, he wouldn't have time to eat. So some bring a raya from here that a person should learn less on Erev Yom Kippur and eat more. And others say, no, it's possible over here that if he would have spent his time learning being Maver Sedra, he wouldn't have been able to eat anything. But to eat more and learn less, that we don't see from here, Dafka. Soverlak Deminu. So then he thought maybe he'll do it earlier and learn the parshios before the Shabbosos come up. No, there's an inyan to do it Shabbos by Shabbos. Right? He told them that they should do it, what's it called, with the tzibur. Now there's that parsha that the Sibur is reading, that Shabbos, that's the Shabbos that you should do Shnayim Mikro V'Yechet Targum. Rashi, Yashlim Parshiyosov, Shal Kol Shabbos V'Shabbos. And here you see also that the Parshas HaShavua is a misnomer, because there are Parshios HaShavua. Parsha is a Stuma, a Psucha, and there are many in every Sedra. Pashtus, what we call Parsha, is really called the Sedra, and there are Parshios in the Sedra. So a person should be mashlim the Parshios that apply to that Shabbos. Tafilu Atoros the Divon, Shein Bo Targum, even Atoros and Divon, that has no Targum, so the many Rishonim say that what you should do over there is say the Pasuk three times. Malo Vakosuf, V'Hochi Komer Kra. Hachinu atzmechem v'tisha lachodesh le'inui hamachros. Prepare yourselves on the ninth for the inui of the tenth. V'harehu be'enai ki inui hayom. And if you prepare yourselves on the ninth, I'll consider it like you had inui on the ninth. We'll discuss in a while what the ideas are here. L'agdumino l'sadr kol ha'parshios b'shabbos achas o b'shtei shabbosos. So he thought to make sure that he would finish, he would do it early and finish all of them in 1 week or 2 weeks. And he told him, no, it's an inyan to do it Shabbos by Shabbos. Okay. Let's see what's here first on Maver Sedra. Okay. The Ravan says that the whole inyan over here is for a person who's not going to hear Kriyas HaTorah. So if you're not going to hear Kriyas HaTorah, then you should lane it by yourself, right? And we'll see that some hold you should do it daft at the time when the tzibur is laning in shul. And you at home should go over the parasha, that's called twice, and one time with the targum, just like they lane in shul, they lane it once with the targum. But since you're not hearing Kriyas HaTorah from the Shliach Tzibur, you should do it twice. And therefore, according to this time, it should follow that Bizman HaZeh, we were not noheg to have a targum, so you shouldn't have to do the targum. If the whole reason is that for a person who's not hearing Kriyas HaTorah, he should do what they're doing in shul, then lechora, if they're not making the targum in shul, he shouldn't have to do it either. But that's not how we paskin anyway, but that's one shita. The Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, say that even if you heard Kriyas HaTorah, you're surely going to hear Kriyas HaTorah, you're still chayef to be Mavr Sedra. And it's mashma from them that you have to do it even if you heard Kriyas HaTorah, and that doesn't count as one time. Listening to the Shliach Tzibur, the Baal Kore, doesn't help as one time, and you have to do it twice, plus the Targum. Now, the reasons given why you have to be Mavr Sedra, if it's not in place of Kriyas HaTorah, if you can hear Kriyas HaTorah anyway. Some say that because maybe you'll get an Aliyah. And then in those days, the person himself leaned. So you'll have to know how to lane the parasha. At Lechora, that only applies to the Aliyahs it's shaykh for you to get. If you're not a Kohen or a Levi, Lechora, you shouldn't have to be Mavr Sedra for the first two Aliyahs. Because you're surely not going to get those two Aliyahs. The others say that what's your quote? What? Others hold that maybe you won't be machaven by Kriyas HaTorah. At least this way you'll hear the laning from yourself. Right? If you won't be yotze with Kriyas HaTorah, at least you'll have lained the parsha yourself. The Mate Moshe says that it's tam, an inyan of what's it called, of Limud HaTorah. People should be bekiyim in Chumash, and therefore every year they go through Chumash twice plus a Targum. And it's keneged, why three times? Keneged the zmanim that the Torah was given three different times. The Torah was given at Sinai, Ol Moed, and Arvis Moav. Okay, comes out as a difference whether it's preparation for that week's Sedra or Stam Limud HaTorah. One of the nafkaminas would be if you missed a week. The next week, what should you do first? Should you do that week's, or should you do what you missed first, because that came first? If the idea is Limud HaTorah, then you should do what you missed first, and then do the next thing. If it's preparation for Kriyas HaTorah, whatever, then it makes more sense to do the week that's then, and make up for the other one afterwards. Now, Tosis brings down over here Targum, that Targum is Targum Unklus. And even though the Rivavan holds that any translation is good. You have to read it twice in the original and once a translation. Tosus holds, no, Targum Unklus is not a translation, it's a perish, it's a commentary. There's a lot of things in Targum Unklus explains the psukim. And therefore, another Targum, which is just a translation, or an English translation, or whatever, wouldn't be good. The Rivavan holds any translation is okay. The Smag and the Rosh bring down that the Bizman HaZeh, Perish Rashi is even better than the Targum, because we have a running Perish, even though it's not on every word, but a running Perish on the Mikra that is even better than a Targum. The Shulchan Aruch brings down that still a Yirei Shemayim do both, right? The Perish of Rashi and also Targum Unkelus. So that which the Gemara says, that even Atoros the Divon, Tosus says, what's the Chiddush of Atoros the Divon? So there's a question over here also. There's a lot of psukim in the Torah that don't have any targum on the words, names, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Why? Dafka, Torah, Svedivom, right, that also are names that lechora in our targum don't have any special difference in the targum than in the Mikra. You could have said a million names in the Torah, way before Torah, Svedivom. So Tosa says, because on these names there's a targum Yerushalmi. And the Targum Yerushalmi says different names than what are in the Torah, right? And therefore, I might think that since there's no Targum Unkelus, you don't have to say a Targum. Comes along Tosa says, no, that's what the Gemara is saying. That since there's a Targum Yerushalmi here, you have to read the Targum Yerushalmi. Others say that the Taz says that other names right, are Choshuva names, Reuven, Shimon, what's it called? So I know that you have to read them a third time. But Atoros, the Divon, are names that stam, arbitrary names given by Goyim to these places, maybe that's not important enough to have to read a third time. Kamashmalan, even that. The Yarish Dvash says that since the Targum Yerushalmi says different names, it's Masha, those are the original names that the Goyim gave it. The Torah says Musabal Shem, that originally the names were Goyisha names, and the Torah changed names, Yidden, when they got these things, they were names for Avodah Zarah, and they changed them. So what's the names in the Torah are not the original names that the Goyim gave it, those are the changed names. But the Targum Yerushalmi tells us what the original names were. I might think that those are names of Avodah Zarah, you shouldn't mention them. But Mashmalan, that no, since the Targum says them, you should say them, and you should say that is the third part of Targum. That's what the Aris Devash says. The Tzlach says that the Havamina by Atoros, the Divon, that you shouldn't have to say it a third time, because those are names that were given arbitrarily. But names like Reuven, Shimon, Levi were names given by the Rabbanim, from names given with a reason. Right? Either with a reason, or some of them were names that the Rav Amram gave, Yishmael, Yitzchak, those kind of names, about you have to read. There's something special about the name. But here, they're just arbitrary names. For Mashmalon, even those you have to read a third time. Okay, what's Im HaTzibur? Right? When is called that the time that the Tzibur is being Osek in that week's Sedra? So Tosis says the whole week, from Mincha of the Shabbos before, when you start laning that parsha, that sedra, then you can, what's it called, then you can start the Mavr Sedra. Okay, that pretty much fits with the idea that you're preparing for the laning. Right? It has to do with when you start laning that. The Rabbeinu Peretz says that you can't start from Shabbos, even Mincha time. You have to start Dafka from Sunday and on. The Tashbat says that you have to start from Wednesday and on, because everything till Wednesday is on the past Shabbos, from Wednesday on is on the next Shabbos. And the Marami Rottenberg says that you have to do it Shabbos during Kriyas HaTorah, or at the same time that the Kriyas HaTorah is going on, because Mamasha a chelik of Kriyas HaTorah. The Mogen Avraham, in the name of the Shalosh, says that the ideal time is to do it Erev Shabbos after Chatzos, and the Arizal used to do it Erev Shabbos after Shachris, and the Mate Yehuda brings down that the Groh used to do one aliyah, or one parsha, each day, divided into seven equal parts, and each day he did a little bit more. So whatever you do, you have somebody that did the minig like that. Till when can you be mashlamit? So Marami Rottenberg says, till Wednesday. After Wednesday, you can't be mashlam anymore. The Rabbeinu Peretz says, till mincha of that Shabbos. Because once you start laning a new parsha, that's it. It's not called Mashlin Parsha Yosef Imat Tzibor, because the Tzibor now is laning a different parsha. And the Rabbeinu Simcha says, till Simchas Torah. You have till Simchas Torah, when the Tzibor is Mashlin the Torah, you have to make up Mavr Sedra, and that's Taka the Minig, that somebody who didn't have a chance to do it before Simchas Torah, should finish whatever he missed. How do you do it? The Shalah and the Marshal say you should do the whole parsha once, the whole Sedra once. Mikra, second time Mikra, and then Targum. The Lechem Chamuda says you do a Pasuk by Pasuk. Each Pasuk twice, Mikra, and then Targum, and then go on to the next Pasuk. And some say you should do it Parsha by Parsha, meaning till a Pei or a Samach. But to do it by Aliyahs, there's no Makor Bechlau. That's not a way to be Mavr Sedra, to go to Sheni, to Shlishi, whatever. Those Chilukim are arbitrary, and they have no significance. And therefore, the Sfarim bring down that the person's Mavr Sedra shouldn't do it Aliyah by Aliyah. He should do it either Peis and Samachs, or do Pasuk by Pasuk, or do the whole Sedra at once. By Aliyahs. He split it into seven equal parts and stopped by a Parsha, by a Samach or a Pei. Okay. B'dieved, you can be Somech one time on what you hear in Shul. So you can, but it says it's kedai to do it in the right order. In other words, two times Mikra and then Targum. So if you're going to do it like that, you should hear either the second time Mikra before you do the Targum, or the first time Mikra before you do the second Mikra from the Shliach Tzibur, and then do Mikra and Targum afterwards. But not in the wrong order. No, you shouldn't do Mikra Targum and then hear it in Shul, so you have a second time Mikra, but out of order. Astama, but the other yotz like that too. The Prima Gaudim learns, says that a person who teaches children the Sedra week by week doesn't have to do it extra. He's Yotze with what he does to the children. The Prima Gaudim brings a raya from there. You don't have to read it with the Tannin. You don't have to read it with the Trup, even though it says L'chatchila, it's better to read the Mikra with the Trup. But the Dieva, if you didn't read it with the Trup, you're also Yotze. Okay. Let's go on. Now this inyan of what's it called? Of kol hamisane, kol ha'ochel b'chis ke'ilu isane chi and asiri. So first of all, shaila whether this halacha of eating erev Yom Kippur is a deraisa, or this pasuk is only a asmachta, and there's a machlokas also in the Rambam how he holds. If it's taka deraisa to eat erev Yom Kippur, or it's only an asmacht, then it's only a din drabon. The ideas behind this, why taka, if a person eats erev Yom Kippur, is it considered like fasting 2 days? The Meiri says, because hachana for a mitzvah is part of the mitzvah itself. And the reason you eat erev Yom Kippur is to be able to prepare to fast on Yom Kippur. So by eating erev Yom Kippur, you're osik in the hachana to the mitzvah of fasting. And the hachana of fasting is fasting itself. That's part of the mitzvah. So it's like you fasted 2 days. One day you're osik in the hachana of fasting, and the other day in the fasting itself. The Torah Tumimah says that when you eat, before you fast, eat a lot, then the fasting's much harder. Right? If you wouldn't eat so much, erev Yom Kippur, easier to fast. But when you go from one extreme to another, it makes it much harder. And therefore, you're making the inui of Yom Kippur greater. It's like you fasted 2 days. The Aruch Lener says that you need 2 inuyim. On Yom Kippur, you have an inui for your body. And erev Yom Kippur, by eating, you have an inui for your neshama. Your neshama has inui by eating, and your body has inui by fasting. Another idea they say, the Shibule Aleket brings down, the name of Rabbeinu Binyamin, that it's Lahotzi Miliban Shal Tzedukim. The Tzedukim held that it's Pashut, as it says. You have to fast on the 9th and the 10th. They went after the simple meaning of the Pesukim. And they fasted 2 days, 9th and 10th. So we bedafke eat on the 9th, Lahotzi Miliban Shal Tzedukim. According to that, Lachor, it's not a Doraisa, it's only Nasmachta. The Shari Tshuva says it has nothing to do with preparing for Yom Kippur, to be able to fast. It's a mitzvah by itself. Really, you should eat a good suit on Yom Kippur to celebrate the simcha of Kaparas Avonos. But you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. So you make that suda, that's the simcha of Yom Kippur, the simcha of Kaparas Avonos, erev Yom Kippur. We always like to say a pshat is that Yom Kippur, a person could make the mistake to think that the ikar avodas Hashem is fasting. So the Torah gave you a mitzvah to eat erev Yom Kippur and said, I'm counting it just as if you fasted. So you should know that fasting is not the ikar avoda. Fasting, when it's necessary, is good, but you can eat and be mekayim the same avodas Hashem. Another pshat they say is Yeshua's Malko, that by eating, a person makes more to fast. Right? The bigger, the more you are, the more blood and fat you have, the more fasting you can do. Your body fasts, but you're fasting on a bigger body. So you make more of you to fast on Yom Kippur. Okay, why does it say that Tzlach points out, it should have said, Ki ilu hisane chi, yasiri, you are fasting. It doesn't say to eat, it shouldn't say Ki ilu hisane chi vasiri. Asiri, you mamish fast. It just should have said, a person who eats on the 9th, it's like he fasted on the 9th. What do you mean, it's like he fasted on the 9th and the 10th? So Tzlach says that when you fast 2 days, it's not 2 separate days. It's a much more difficult fast, a fast that's marach 2 days. So if it's just like you fasted on the 9th day, that's one thing. And then the 10th day is separate, it's only a 1-day fast. But if you eat on the 9th, it's like you fasted 2 days straight, and even the tinus of Yom Kippur is a greater tinus, because it's considered like a 2nd day tinus, not a 1st day tinus. That's the Tzlach. Others say Ki'ilu Isan and Shiva Siri means it's not just like you fasted on the 9th. It's almost like you fasted Yom Kippur. The fast of Yom Kippur is a more harsh of a thing. So it's like you fasted on Yom Kippur, that the Kapus Tomorrow says. The Ki'ilu Isan, why isn't it just a mitzvah to eat? You eat on Erev Yom Kippur, it's a mitzvah to eat. Why does it have to be like you fasted? So the Prichoder says because mitzvahs that come with Tsar are greater mitzvahs. So if it's just a mitzvah of eating, it's not as great a mitzvah as a mitzvah fast. Others say, the Ktzei Amata says, that it's coming to tell me the shear of how much you have to eat.
if it's a mitzvah of eating, you have to eat a kazayas. But if it's like your fasting, then you have to eat more. You have to eat a kosevis. Just like fasting is only if you don't, what you go eat, you break the fast with a kosevis, which is more than a kazayas. So if it's considered like fasting, then you have to eat a kosevis to be the opposite. Another reason is to mechayiv nashim, kiveger, and the ksav sofer say that women are also chayiv. If it's just a mitzvah by itself, right, then women lechara wouldn't be chayiv. It's because a mitzvah says she's my grandma. But if it's like you're fasting, so it's a chalik of Yom Kippur, then women are chayiv in Yom Kippur. They're chayiv in this too. And the Torah to me brings a raya that women taka are chayiv. Michas chinuch has a shayla whether women are chayiv in this mitzvah says she's my grandma, potter, or it's a hachana for Yom Kippur, and anybody who's chayiv in Yom Kippur is chayiv in this. Right, he brings a raya from the Gemara in Beya. The Gemara says the women used to eat till mamish the last minute, and shouldn't tell them, you know, what's it called, that they're eating too late, because mutuf shu shogim lo mizidim. He says, well, why the women, especially Erev Yom Kippur, so misrashal? He said, no, because they wanted to kind the mitzvah of achila of Erev Yom Kippur. Not because they were misrashal in Yom Kippur. They were medaktik and mahadr in the mitzvah of achila. By choice, they have that mitzvah too. There's no bracha, right? Because the Hemek Shaila says, because if you don't fast on Yom Kippur, if you end up not fasting, then there's no mitzvah of eating. The mitzvah here of eating is for preparation for the fast. If you don't end up fasting, then there was no mitzvah to eat. Maybe you can't make a bracha. There are quite a few nafkaminas, whether it's a mitzvah by itself, that some of the reasons we said make it a mitzvah by itself. Others say it's only, other reasons are it's a hachana for the fast of Yom Kippur. The nafkaminas would be the following. One would be, are women chayiv? Okay? Another would be what the shear is, how much you have to eat, we said. Another one is, do you have to eat bread? If it's a suda, it's to celebrate the kapara, then you have to eat bread, like any suda. But if it's just that you should prepare for the fast, you don't have to eat bread, eat anything, just that you should be able to fast. If a person's not going to fast on Yom Kippur, he's sick, does he have to eat Erev Yom Kippur? If it's a preparation, no. If it's a mitzvah by itself, yes. There are other nafkaminas that are mentioned here. Do you need lecha mishnah? If it's a suda, like a sudas yomtiv, then maybe you need lecha mishnah. If it's just to prepare to what's it called, to fast, if you don't need. Also, is the mitzvah to eat once or to constantly eat, right? It's like fasting, so you have to continue eating. Just like you fast all day, you have to eat all day, right? Nafkamina would be if you have a tainus chalom on Erev Yom Kippur. Should you fast a tainus chalom or not? If it's an Indian to eat once, so have the tainus chalom and eat once. But if the Indian is like inui, and you have to do it all day, then if you have a tainus chalom, you're being mevatel this mitzvah, at least for part of the time. Okay, let's go on. V'hizaru v'voridim, Rebbe Yehuda. This is also what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi told his children. Be careful that when you shecht a bird, when you shecht something, you should cut the veridim, the jugular veins, the veins around the neck, like Rabbi Yehuda, the Sinan Rabbi Yehuda, Omer ad sheyishkolos haveridim. That when you shecht an animal, aside from the simon, you have to shecht the veridim, and the veridim you have to shecht because the blood should there drain, right? The blood should not be, go into the avarim, and then you'll have problems with getting it out. This way the blood drains. And the Svarim bring down that Rabbi Yehuda only held that by an oath that you're going to roast whole. So there's no place for the blood to drain. But if you're going to cut it up, right, even cut off its head, so there's other ways of the blood draining, then you don't have to cut the veins, the jugular veins altogether. And in an animal, where anyway you're going to cut it up, right, so you don't have to cut the jugular veins. Only by an oath, which is possible to be sold. Others say if you're going to roast an animal whole, right, not even cut off its head, then you also have to cut the jugular veins by an animal. But taloch is only by an oaf, and only if you're going to roast it whole. The zor of the zokin sheshochach talmudo machmas onso, the amrin on luchos v'shivrei luchos munachos ba'aron, right, and be careful with a zokin who forgot his learning, right, not because he left Talmud Torah, but he forgot his learning mipnei onso. Rashi says, Shechola o shenitra bedochik mezonos. He's zara b'lechvodu. And all this happened to him. He got sick. Or he was so poor that he couldn't learn. He had to go and make a living. So he had to stop learning. So he forgot. So you be careful with him too. Just like we see that the broken luchos were also in the Arum. He's considered broken luchos. And even though the ksav went away, right, and the luchos, the broken ones, says that the ksav went away, so it was left just with stone, but that stone got kiddush, and therefore you have to give it kavod. Okay? Rashi, we just skipped the Rashi, Ashishos of reading, Kidei sheyetze kol adam, in order that the blood should drain, v'lo omar kein el ba'of, that's only by a bird, hoel v'tzoleo kulu ke'echot, since you're going to roast it whole, there's no place for the blood to drain. Okay? The Or HaYosher points out that if you have a Sefer Torah and all of the ksav disappears, it gets rubbed off or whatever, so the halacha is that the klaf doesn't have kedusha anymore. So why is that different than the luchos? Did have kedusha? Says because the luchos, the Rabban Shem made the luchos, they had intrinsic kedusha, not just because of what was written on them. So too a Talmud Chacham has intrinsic kedusha, not just because of the Torah that he knows, but once he learns Torah, it becomes part of him. And that doesn't go away, even if he forgets it. Okay. Omer lehu Rava Levanya. Now, since we said things that Rabbi Shua ben Levi said to his children, now we're going to say things that other Amorayim said to their children. So Rava said to his children, Kishatem chotchim basar al techatzu al gav hayad. When you cut meat, don't cut it on your hand. Right? In other words, use your hand as a support for the meat. Ika di amri mishum sakana. Some say because sakana, because you cut your hand, right, and you bleed to death. The ika di amri mishum kilkul suda. Even if you don't cut your hand and bleed to death, you cut it just a little bit, but a little bit of blood is going to get on the meat, and it's going to ruin the suda. Rashi says, what's kilkul suda? Even the ones that you broke, put into the aron, afa shvarim tosim baron. Mishum sakana shlo yakut yol, you shouldn't cut your hand off. Mishum kilkul suda, afa chabura ktanim, if you make only a small wound. Yetze dam, v'yalach lichas ha-maychol, v'yanis is ha-mesubin. Rashi should have said, it'll get on the food, you won't be able to eat it. He says, what's going to happen is it'll get on the food, and people are going to be disgusted by it. Like, you're not allowed to eat it if the blood is on there. But that you could wash off. But if people see it, right, then even if you wash it off from your blood, they're not going to want to eat it. So you're going to be over an isser of Baal Teshaktu, making people disgusted, and your Kilkul Suda is that people, there will be people now who saw your blood on it, and even if you washed it off, they're not going to eat it. But for you, if you wash off the blood, you could eat it. You're not going to be disgusted from your own blood, so that's not really a problem. The Alteshua Mitas Aramis. Don't sit on the bed of an Aramis. We'll see in one second what that means. The Altavru Achori Vesaknesis Beshar Shatziv Mispalman. Don't walk behind the shul, past the entrance of the shul, when the tzibur is mispal, and don't go in. The Alteshua Mitas Aramis. What does that mean? Ika diamre lo siganu belo kriyishma. Don't go to sleep without saying Kriya Shema L'Amita. Why is that called Mitas Aramis? So I think the Marsha says, the Marsha says a cute shot. He says that the whole purpose of Kriya Shema L'Amita is to protect you from the Mazikim, that when you say these psukim, the Malachim come and they protect you. So it says the Malachim don't understand Aramis. They don't understand Aramaic. So if you don't say Kriya Shema, it's like you said Kriya Shema and Aramis, and the angels don't hear you anyway, and you don't have that protection. So therefore it's called Mitas, it's like your bed is a Mita of Aramaic, right? And the Malachim don't get the message, and they don't protect you. Okay? So that's one shot in Mitas Aramis, that you go to sleep without saying Kriya Shema. Ika di Amrei de losus nasbu giyort, you shouldn't marry a giyoris. Then you'll be in bed with an Aramis, with a woman who was a Goya to begin with. So some say that I would see that Yoshua married Rachav, Rabbi Akiva married Asus to Miss Rufus, Boaz married Ruth, they don't marry a Gioris. So some say that Rava was a Kohen, and he was telling his children that even those people who hold that a Gioris who is Megayer, less than 3 years old, a Kohen is allowed to marry her, you shouldn't marry her anyway. So he's only specific to a Kohen that should marry Gioris. Others hold that Rava wasn't a Kohen. According to those Shitas, Tosus and Gittin, well, Rava wasn't the Kohen, so they say that, what's it called, that it was an Eitzah Tova because she doesn't have Schus Avos. It's not a halacha that you can't marry a Gioris, right? It's just sometimes an Eitzah Tova, whatever. And these great people married, they did it Alpi Horashah, Ruach HaKodesh, or whatever. They knew that it was, even without Schus Avos, these people were Kedai to marry. Right, okay, let's go on. The Ika di Amri Aramis Mamish, and some say it means literally, you shouldn't sit on the bed that belongs to a Goyim. Mishu Maisa to Rapapa. Because of what happened to Rapapa, they made a gzera, or a rav at least told his children, stay away from women, Goyish women's beds, right, even if she's going to sit on it. Why? The Rapapa, also the Gabi Aramis, Rapapa went to do business or whatever with this Goyish woman, Hotsiulo Mita. So she brought out a bed, it's a bit of a couch. Omra lo shave, sit and have a seat. Omra lo eini yoshev, ad shetagbiyas amita. I'm not going to sit down until you pick up the bed. I want to see what's under it. Higbiyas amita, motzu shom tinik meis. Sure enough, picked up the bed, and there was a dead child underneath. What she wanted to do is to frame Rapapa that he killed the kid when he sat on the bed. So he realized that something's wrong, you know, why is she being machabed him, bringing out a special couch for him? And sure enough, he was right. From here, the Chachamim said, you have to be very careful because of this Maisa Shahaya and not sit on a similar couch. The halacha is, shouldn't walk behind the shul where the door is and pass by because it looks, one of two things, looks like you're not interested in davening. Or it looks like you're mavasa the shul. You're not interested in davening. It's a bizui for the shul. Either it's a chshad on you that you're not interested in davening, or it's a bizui for the shul. Omer Abaya. So Abaya says if that's the case, right? Like we explained what the reason is. Lo amran el doleka pischachrina. It's only there's no other door. If you pass by that door, people say you didn't go in. But if you pass by that door and there's another door, maybe you're going in the other door. Avo ika pischachrina leslanva. Lo amran el doleka beknishachrina. It's only where there's no other shul. In that area. There's another shul. People say going to the other shul. Avol ika beknish tachrina leslanba. Velo amrin as lo dori tuna. Velo roit. Velo manach tfilin. Avol ika chad mihanach leslanba. Also, if you're running, people know you're in a rush, so you'll daven, or you davened already, whatever. It's not their bizarre. You don't want to go and daven. You have some reason not. Or you're carrying a package. They see you're busy. Or you're wearing tfilin. Obviously, you're wearing tfilin. You're not the kind of person who doesn't want to daven. So there's no chshad, and it's not a bizarre into the shul either. Rashi. Below Kriyishma, Shetehei Mitos Chadoma Lemitos Aramis. It's like a Goy. Your bed's like a Goy's bed. Goyim don't say Kriyishma, you don't say Kriyishma either. Aramis Mamish, Almitos Aramis, a Goyish woman's bed. Maisadra Papa, Shomer Lo Sheva Lamita, Vahaya Benoa Meis Mutal Aleha, Vaisarotsa Lahalala, Veloma Shiyoshava Vahargo. She wanted to frame him that he was the one who killed the kid. Also, Lavor Shenira Kemavriya Chasman Tesel Beis Haknesses Shavu Mizrach. It looks like you are avoiding the door of the shul. Okay. Al Gav Hayad Esya. We have next thing. Tanya Omer Rabbi Akiva B'Shloshet Dvarim Oivan Yisetsa Medayim. I like three things that the medians do. The modais Kishecholkin Es Abasser and Cholkin Al Gav Hashulchan. When they cut meat, they do it on the table, not on their hand. Okay, just like we said before, it's a mile. So I see they're smart people. Kishinoshkin einoshkin ela gavaya. When they kiss people on their hand. So Marsha brings down, we see that kissing, when it comes to kissing, the psukim are mishabeya, kissing on the lips. Right? Nishakenim and shikos piu. So he says over here it's an inyan of sneeth, right? When a person kisses his wife, so it's an inyan to kiss her on the lips. But when people kiss other people, that would be tzpritzis, to kiss on the lips. So that kind of kissing should be done on the hands. Masha from Masha, that kind of kissing, if you kiss somebody on the hand, just dam out nimus, that's okay, that's not pritzis, if that's the mimic to do. Okay? Men and women too, because he's talking about kissing women, the Masha. But al gav hayad, that's not pritzis, that's dam nimus. From here also, and say that kind of kissing, therefore, there's different kinds of kissing. There's kissing that's a more erotic kind of kissing, that's reserved for a husband and wife, and that's preaches by anybody else. And then there's kissing that's not considered preaches, that's acceptable, kissing somebody on the head, right? Shall you allow to, what's it called, to kiss your daughter, obviously, right? To kiss her on the lips is serious. Right, kiss her on the head is obviously okay. Or some people have a shiloh, should they kiss their wife in front of their children? So what I tell people is, and somebody told me, and Adam Godel also said the same thing, But Libi Omerli, that's true, even if an Adam Godel didn't say it. But I heard a corroboration that Naram Godel also said the same thing. If you're kissing your wife like you only kiss a wife, that shouldn't be done in front of anybody, even your children. But if you're kissing your wife like you would kiss your daughter, kiss her on the head or whatever, that kind of thing, that's preferable. That a child should see that that there's a kirva between a husband and wife. Should never see a husband touch his wife is not not a healthy thing. So, but it depends what kind of kirva, right? Something that would be done only between a husband and wife, that shouldn't be done publicly, even in front of children. But something that's done to anybody, right? Kind of hug or a kiss that you would give your child or another person, that's for sure preferable. When they go for advice, they go out into the field. And there's a pasuk that supports that. And even though you could say, I think the Marsha says, even though you could say that Yaakov Avinu did it because he didn't want to waste time, from he was out in the field watching the sheep, he couldn't come home. He was busy, so he brought them out to the field. The Torah wouldn't have mentioned it if that was the only reason. So it's a good idea if you have to speak and ask advice, go far away where other people don't hear you. Rashi, al gav hayad is yad chaveru hu noshek, kisses his friend's hand. Mederech hashivusu mipnei harok. It's a chashiva way of doing it because most people don't like to be kissed on the lips because of the spit, but on the hand is nishkaferlech. Elavisod damrin shios naim lekosel. People say walls have ears. So if you want to speak about something private, go out in the field and speak about it. Rashi, Tanya, Omer of Gamliel, B'shloshet Dvorim Ohev Anias HaParsiyim. I love the Parsim for three things. Hein Tznuim B'Achilosam. They're very tsanua when they eat. U'Tznuim V'Sakisi. They're tznuim when they go to the bathroom. U'Tznuim V'Dovran. They're tznuim when they have relations with their wives. And the Svarim bring down, what are they tsanua by eating? It says by the Parsim, when they before they would eat, they would have two servants bring out on a silver platter a resen, a what's it called, by a horse, the thing, a rein, reins, and what's it called, and a scale. The rem is being, hold yourself back from eating things that aren't proper, that's the reins, and even the things that are proper, don't eat too much, weigh it out. So they were snuim when it came to eat. And they were tznuim the Vesakisei and tznuim the Dover Acher. Somebody brings a raya from all these things that you see that you can learn from Goyim. Right? Even from Goyim, we'll see, we'll end up in Gehenna, we'll see. The Parsim. Right? And it's not considered Chukas HaGoyim because it's a Dover Tznius. It's something that's proper that they do. Something proper. Also, it's not Lo Sechonim. He said, he gives praise to these goyim. The halach is you're not allowed to praise a goy, but praise him for something good that he does, not him per se. He's handsome, whatever, but he did something good. And you can learn, kabel ha-soevis, mishamra. Just if somebody does something right and does something good, you can give credit where credit is due and learn from them too. Ani tzidisi l'mikudoshai, tani rav Yosef, elu ha-parsim ha-mikudoshim u'muzumanim l'gehenim. That even though the Parsiim are very nice and they're tzanua, and they even built the second Beis Hamikdash, but it doesn't help them. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that in the end they're going to end up in Gehenna too. So even though they were such nice people or whatever, they're going to end up in Gehenna. And some say that it's a mila in them. Many goyim can't even get into Gehenna. They have kafakela. That's a much worse punishment. But once you get into Gehenna, you have a kapara. So the Parsiim, since they were so nice and they built the second Beis HaMikdash, at least they'll get into Gehenna and have a kapara for their averus. Okay, Rashi. The Dover Acher Tashmish. Anitzi Disi L'Mikudoshai, the Mapelis Bodoksi. This pasuk refers to the destruction of Bavel by Poras. Anitzi Disi Es Malche Poras, U'Modai Lovo L'Ashchisa. So why are they called Mikudoshai? Because the word Mikudosh means Mizuman. They're set aside. They're designated. What are they designated for? They're designated to end up in Gehenna. It's like we said, some say that's a negative thing. Afal pi, they're all their milas, they're still going to end up in Gehenna. And some say that it's a mila for them that at least they'll be able to end up in Gehenna. Okay, the next piece is continued on the next daf, the Iker, so we'll save it to start tomorrow.